Good morning. Today's Daf and Ksuvos, Samech Beis. We are in Samech Alef Amud Beis. We just have a little bit more to finish up before we get to the upcoming Mishnah, so let's do so quickly. And then we will engage in certainly one of the more interesting Dafim here in the Masechta, and probably the most popular Daf here in the Masechta, although the most popular part of today's Daf we're probably going to save for tomorrow. It's really on the bottom of Samech Beis Amud Beis with the Rebbe Kiva. And his wife, but that's going to be probably reserved for tomorrow, if I can forecast correctly. In the meantime, however, just finishing up from yesterday, so a woman comes into the marriage, and Baruch Hashem, she comes from money, and she's bringing shvachos. So what is that going to take? It's going to take responsibilities off her plate. She won't have to do particular services. We already went through the Mishnah. She brings in one shivcha, takes some off, takes a second shivcha, more. Third, more, and then finally when she brings the fourth shivcha into the marriage, so then she could be sitting on her throne. And then the subsequent discussion, a good idea, a bad idea. But anyway, but meanwhile, that's the basic yisod of the Mishnah. And then Rabbi Elazar says is that even if she's coming in with 100 shvachos, so she is going to, she's still going to have to do some basic activities because what is she going to do? Be inactive all day? That's a terrible idea. So we're going to pick it up right there at that point in time. Samach Aleph, we are the first wide line on Samach Aleph Amud Beis. So I'm Rav Malkio, I'm Rav Ad, Barav, Halacha Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so that's the halacha. And the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav Malkio. And then the Gemara makes a comment which we've heard numerous times throughout Shas, because there are six halachas which need correct attribution. Every halacha needs a correct attribution. In other words, you have to say every halacha, B'Shem Omro. You have to quote correctly who said it. So over here, the Gemara now is looking for precision in terms of who said it. And I'm Rav Chanina Bered, Ravika, Shpot Shvachos, Vigumos, Rav Malkio. And Bluri Sefer Mikla, Vigvina, Rav Malkio. So the Gemara says is that there are six halachas. Three of them should be attributed to Rav Malkio, and three of them should be attributed to Rav Malkio. Those are two different Amarayim. Please excuse me. We're not going to go through all six halachas right now. Only one of them are relevant to our discussion here in the Gemara, and that's, of course, Shvachos. And the other five I'm not going to go through right now. But what the Gemara is doing is basically it's crossing the T's, it's dotting the I's. The Gemara is just looking for precision of who said it. So Rav Papa, Amar Masisa, Masisa, Rav Malkio, Shmaita, Rav Malkio. And Rav Papa has a slightly different way to say it, which is that anything which is a commentary on either Mishnah or Braisa, so that is attributed to Rav Malkio with an Aleph. And anything which is Shmaitata. Shmaitata means that it's a statement made independent by Amarayim, so that is Rav Malkio with a Vav. Vistimancha, Masisa, Malkisa. And I'll give you a great mnemonic in terms of how to remember it. And that is Bryce's king, right? That he doesn't translate well into English. But anyway, but Bryce obviously is more authoritative. And so, Masnisasa Malkisa. And that, and you get the Aleph there. And then you'll know that any Bryce is set over by Rav Malkia. My Benawi Kabana Shvachos. Now, if you were to go through, and I'm not going to do this now, but if you were to go through Rav Papa's presentation versus Rebbe Chanina's presentation, so you're going to find that there's a subtle difference between them in terms of which one should be attributed to Rav Malkio versus Rav Malkio. So your homework tonight is you go through the six halachas according to Rabbi Chanina, you go through the six halachas as presented by Rav Papa, you'll note the subtle discrepancy between them, and then you'll understand the Gemara's conclusion of Ike Beinayu. Okay. Rashbag Omer, so Hainu Tanakama. So Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying the same thing as the Tanakama. Ike Beinayu, the Gemara says, yeah, that's true. Yeah, they're saying effectively the same thing, but there is going to be a subtle difference between them, and that is the Mitella Guryasa Kitnaisa Vinidashir. What she's doing is she is playing with right small dogs. In other words, basically what she's doing is that she has got hobbies. So if she's got hobbies, so is that going to be a good way, a good use of her time? Meaning in the event that she has no work to do. In other words, she has shvachos, but she has hobbies. So is that going to be a good use of her time? So the Gemara says that's going to be the difference. Meaning in terms of not sitting around, so she's not sitting around. She's got hobbies. On the other hand, if the concern is Zima, the concern is that it'll just, in other words, too much idle time is going to lead to lewd behavior. So over here, just picking up a hobby is not going to be sufficient. In other words, you need work to do. Okay, Adkan. It takes us to the end of the sugya regarding a woman's responsibilities. And now we turn our attention to the man and the husband's responsibilities to his wife, and specifically we're going to be talking about Ona. Okay, this is going to be an adult discussion, an adult conversation, in terms of the husband's responsibilities to be with his wife, to be intimate with his wife. It is his responsibility. It's a pasuk in the Torah, right? Ona sa, right? When the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, when the woman is when the girl is sold, and she is not, and the one who purchased her does not take advantage in terms of marrying her. So the Torah says is that if the sheirak susa ve'onasa lo yigara, that what's going to happen is that she's not going to lose out on these three things. Meaning these are the three things that a woman's entitled to. We already discussed earlier in the Masechta in terms of what are the definitions of these three things. We're going to say pashut. And that is that the ona is referring to the intimacy, the conjugal relations that happens between husband and wife. And it's squarely his responsibility to do so. And so as a result of that, what we're going to be discussing now in the Mishnah is frequency in terms of how often a responsibility does he have. Obviously, in the Torah itself, there's no mention of the Torah in terms of what kind of frequency, what kind of schedule we're looking at. And so over the course of today's daf, we're going to be talking about scheduling. So Hamadir Sisha Mitash Mishamita Bishamar Shay Shabbas Hila Omrim Shabbas Achas. Okay, so the Mishnah starts off with somewhat of a funny place, but basically how long is considered a significant break. In other words, he wants a break and he makes a neder. And that neder is that she's not going to be benefiting from I'm not going to be benefiting from her. Now I was careful about the way I said it. Why? Because Rashi told me to be careful about the way I said it. Meaning Rashi says, Amadir Sisha, the first Rashi in the Mishnah, Kigon Da'amar Yeser Hanas Tashmashecha Alai. Right? Your Hana will be forbidden to me. Ava Hanas Tashmishi Alech Lo Mitzri. Da'amishuba La Dichsiv Onasa Lo Yigara. But what Rashi says, I'll tell you what will be an ineffective neder. And he says that if he says that my Tashmish will be usher to you. Now I know it's semantics, but every time we talk about Nedarim, by definition, Nedarim is semantics. So over here, if he said that his Tashmish will be prohibited to her, so as a neder it would work, but not in this context. Why? Because he has a shibud, meaning he's required by the Torah to have relations with her. So what he can't do is he can't make a neder on something that he already has a shibud. Even though, this is just me now thinking out loud, even though we learned not so long ago that there are certain things which are shibud breakers and a konam is a shibud breaker. But somehow you'll make a distinction between a konam and a neder. Okay, sorry. Those are my inside thoughts that just came outside. Anyway, but let's just say over Rashi, nice and simple. So the way to effectively make the neder is to say that my tashmish, your tashmish will be prohibited to me via neder. Okay. Anyway, the point is, okay. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit lost here in the Rashi. But the overall point is that he's taking a break from her, and what's an acceptable break? Meaning, or let's say better, what's an unacceptable break? So machlok is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether or not it's 1 week or 2 weeks. And we're going to come back and we're going to explain how do they arrive at those numbers. But that's an unacceptable break in terms of marital relations. Ha, Talmidim Yosef L'Tam HaTorah Shalom B'Rishos Shoshim Yom. Okay, now, Talmidim, they want to go and learn in yeshiva. They're married, but they really want to dedicate themselves to learning. So how long can they go without permission? So the Mishnah says 30 days. Po'alim Shabbos Achas. And as far as workers are concerned, they can go away for a week. Okay, much to discuss over here. Let's table the discussion because in the Gemara is going to really fill in a lot of the details. Now, ha'ona ha'amur b'Torah. So as far as the ona is mentioned in the Torah, meaning, again, the Mishnah over here is acknowledging that this is a mitzvah a mitzvah in the Torah, but it's more than a mitzvah. Meaning it's not just a mitzvah, it's also a chov. In other words, it is a obligation that the husband has towards his wife. As such, what the Mishnah is now laying out is, so what is a schedule? What is considered a quote-unquote normal schedule? So hatayalam b'chol yom, so if you're a tayal, so it's every day with his wife. Again, that needs further clarification. We'll get to it when we get through the Gemara. And apolam shtayim b'shabbos. Now, as far as workers are concerned, two times a week. Chamarim achas b'shabbos. If you are a donkey driver, so that's once a week. Gamala Machas L'Shoshim Yom, camel drivers presumably going on longer trips, so it's once every 30 days. Hasafana Machas L'Shisha Chadashim, and if you're a sailor and you're captaining a ship, so 6 months. So you're going to be home once every 6 months. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, this is a Shita Rabbi Eliezer. hopefully at this point in time, you're wondering to yourself, the Mishnah is almost, it's almost incoherent. Meaning, what happened in the Mishnah? The Mishnah opened up with, this is an unacceptable break. It's either going to be 1 or 2 weeks. And then the Mishnah talks about schedules between husband and wife, depending on his occupation. And the Mishnah says, well, you know, if you're a sailor, so you're going to be gone for 6 months. Okay, that's acceptable, because that's your occupation. Right? We went from 1 to 2 weeks being unacceptable to now sailors are going away for 6 months. So hopefully you're wondering at this point in time, like, how does that work? So stay tuned, meaning the Gemara is going to ask that question. It's an obvious question in the Mishnah. We're going to come back to that. That's going to be at the turn of the page, meaning when we go from Samach Beis Amud Alf to Amud Beis, so that's when the Gemara is going to respond to that basic question of the Mishnah. Okay, what are we looking at first of all? Unacceptable breaks in intimacy between husband and wife. So, and we had a machlokas in Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Either it's going to be 1 week or 2 weeks. So my time at the Beis Shammai gamrim yoledes nekeva, or Beis Hillel omrim gamrim yoledes zachar. So. As far as where they're getting their positions from, it's actually really simple. Let's take a look in the Torah and let's talk about where the Torah demands that husband and wife are going to be separating from one another. So what's the longest period of time that they're going to be separated from one another? So it's going to be, huh?
6 months.
No, I understand, but in the Torah. So in the Torah, where is it going to be? So you're going to have two sources. One, which is an Ida, which is a week. And two is going to be a woman who just gave birth. A woman just gave birth, so it depends on what she had. If she had a boy, she had a girl. If she had a boy, it's 1 week. If she had a girl, it's 2 weeks. Okay, so.
Months. Separate for a month for a boy and 2 months for a girl?
No, it's a week and 2 weeks. I'm giving you good information. Okay, fine. What's it called? I think I understand why you're a little bit confused, but afterwards I'll clear it up for you. But I'm giving you good information. It's 1 week, 2 weeks. 1 week for a boy, 2 weeks for a girl. So those are basically where the Torah demands separation between husband and wife. Now I'll put in the disclaimer. We do this every time we go through the Nida, and that is that Mizmanenu nowadays. Anida and a woman's Anida is going to be on break from her husband for more than a week, right? It's going to be, depending if you're Ashkenaz or Sfard, it's going to be 11 days, 12 days. Okay. So, and there's reasons to, and there's reasons for that, but I'm just not going to go through the reasons right now. So right now, with the disclaimer of everything we're talking about is just strictly from the Torah and without the quote unquote evolution of the halacha regarding Anida, Bizmanenu. Okay, so it's 1 week for Anida, and for after childbirth, 1 or 2 weeks, depending on whether it's a boy or girl, respectively. Now, Beis Hillel, So my time at the Beis Shammai got me Milas Nekeva. So Beis Shammai, which says 2 weeks is the maximum abstention, so that he learns from having a girl, where the Torah demands a 2 week abstention. And Beis Hillel got me Milas Zachar. And Beis Hillel says, well, no, I'm going to be learning from after having had a boy. Now, the Gemara is going to ask obvious questions over here. Obeisela nami nigmar miyales nekeva. So the Gemara says, so according to Beisela, so why not learn from yoledes nekeva? And im yoledes gamri la hachinami. So the Gemara says, because you misunderstood or you misrepresented. He's not learning from the yoledes. So ela beisela mi nida gamri la. No, Beisela is learning from nida. Now, what's better, to learn from Nida or to learn it from Yoledes? So the Gemara says, well, there's arguments to go in either direction. To learn it from Nida, that's obviously something that happens frequently. In fact, it happens every month. So there's going to be a week abstention. So that's a better source to learn out the maximum amount of abstention between husband and wife. On the other hand, it's better to learn from Yoledes. Why? Because who caused the abstention? The husband caused the abstention, meaning he impregnated her. Now, obviously, it requires her to be impregnated, but still, in other words, but it's he's a goreim, so therefore, it's a better place to learn from. Okay, so what comes out over here is machlokes bichama and besil when he makes a neder, and the neder goes either beyond 1 or 2 weeks, depending on who you hold like. So that's unacceptable. Now, Amrav machlokes b'mefaresh. So, in the mission, we had a machlokas. He makes a neder, right? We're taking a break, and he says so via neder. And so if he spells out the amount of time, so then you have a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But let's say he does the following. Let's say he makes a neder, and he doesn't express how much time he plans on taking off from her. So under those circumstances, Yotzei La'altav takes suva. So according to Rav, that's it, marriage breaker. Meaning at that point in time, where it's unspecified how long he's going to be breaking from her, so Rav says at that point in time, so that is considered his fault in terms of the destruction of the marriage, and he's going to divorce her, we're going to force him to divorce her, and immediately pay ksuva. Shmuel amar filo bestam nami yamtim shem yimtze pesach l'nedro. Shmuel's of the position, no, let's wait, because what could end up happening is that he made a neder, but in other words, the Talmud Chacham couldn't in fact find a pesach, so here as well, so we are not going to immediately react. So ha'pligi barchad zimna did not. The Gemara says, now it happens to be this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So this is a repeat performance. We've heard this machlokas before in a slightly different context. And that is amadus ishto milahanus lo. Let's say the husband makes the following neder. Like, I'm tired of supporting you, he says to her, and I'm not going to support you. And in fact, not only am I not supporting you, but I'm making a neder that I'm not going to support you. Now again, he is obligated to do so. But still, so what happens in such a circumstance? So what you're going to do is that you're going to set up a support for her. In other words, you will establish some sort of custodian, trustee, who is going to be supporting her. Obviously, he's going to get reimbursed. In other words, right now, we just need somebody for right now who's going to at least fill in this gap. And then, Yosef Yitank Suva. If this extends for more than 30 days, or if he made the neder for anything more than 30 days, so at that point in time, in other words, that will be his fault in terms of the destruction of the marriage. And once again, he's going to divorce and he's going to pay her ksuva. And once again, here we have the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says the only time that we're going to be waiting a month is only if he says a month. But if he doesn't say any specific time, he leaves the time unspecified. So Rav says, that's it, immediate divorce. And again, he has to pay ksuva. And Shmuel says, what we'll do is that we'll wait, because maybe I'll find a Pesach. Now, what just happened? Same machlokas. In other words, he made a neder regarding Ona, and he made a neder regarding Mazon. And in both circumstances, if he's unspecified, Rav and Shmuel debate what are going to be the consequences. Immediate divorce, or let's wait. So tzricha diid mar baha baha kamar Rav mishum delo afshar beparnas aval behid afshar beparnas ema modile l'shmuel. So the Gemara says, yeah, there is a reason why they have to repeat the machlokas, because the obvious difference when it comes to ona cannot be taken care of by anybody else. He's the only one who could take care of ona. So, but when it comes to mazon can at least temporarily be taken care of by somebody else. Diid mar baha baha kamar shmuel baha baha ema modile l'rav tzricha. And that's why I would have thought that maybe Shmuel would agree to Rav, Rav would agree to Shmuel. In other words, this basic distinction between Mazon and Ona. Ona cannot be subbed out by anybody else, but meanwhile, Mazon can, at least temporarily.
Maybe it's a possibility that she could remain married here by having a heifer to be matched in Eder. Why should Rav rush to say that you should get a divorce immediately?
Correct. But in other words, but he's making a neder, which obviously is, in other words, his neder is really cutting into the very fundamental nature of the relationship. In other words, I'm not supporting you. I'm not, right, we're not being intimate.
You could fix it. Wait a week and find out if you
okay, good. So it's so good. So the halacha happens to fall like Shmuel in this regard.
Yeah.
So that may make you feel a little bit more, a little bit better about it. But on the other hand, I understand Rav's position. It really is cutting into the, in other words, he's clearly showing that he has disdain towards the marriage. Okay. Taminim yotzim l'tamud. Okay, the, birshus kama. So the, now let's say he does get permission, meaning without permission, how long can he go away? So the Mishnah said a week. But let's say he has permission. So how much can he go? So the Gemara says, come to buy. What kind of question is that? In other words, if he has permission to go away and she tells him, you can go away for X amount of time, whatever X is. In other words, whatever permission is granted. Orche de Melsa Kama. The Gemara says, okay, I get that. What's considered normal? Okay, so Amarav, Chodesh Khan, Vechodesh Babais. So the Gemara says, I'll give you a schedule which is normal, and that is a month, and yeshiva, and a month home. So, Shenamar l'chol davar ha-machlokos ha-bas v'yotzeh chodesh b'chodesh l'chol chodshei ha-shana. Now, this pasuk is in Divrei Yamim, and this pasuk over here is describing how people had basically shifts in which they served the king. The king over here happens to be David HaMelech, but the basic idea over here is that they would go for 1 month. Rashi points out over here that it's really 1 month out of the year. In fact, that's the pasuk that I just read. So the truth of the matter is that it doesn't really speak to the schedule of the Gemara. 1 month at yeshiva, 1 month at home, in other words, and they alternate months. Rashi notes that. And Rashi points out, look, we're just looking for patterns over here, right? This is not we're not looking at the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim to really teach us what the halacha is. It's just it's a way of using the pasuk to get us to a particular point. But it's not, the pasuk is not the real source. Okay, anyway. So the Derech Eretz is a month at yeshiva, a month at home. Rav Yochanan Amar Chodesh Kan V'Shnayim Beveso. And Rav Yochanan says a month at yeshiva and two in the house. Shenemar Chodesh Yehiyah B'Levanon Shnayim Chadashim Beveso. Okay. This pasuk over here in Malachim is talking about the shifts that were taken in order to build the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously not for David, but for Shlomo HaMelech. V'Rav Nami Maitam Alomar Me'ahi. Why didn't Rav like that pasuk? So Shani Binyan Beis HaMikdash Efshei De'Acherim. Binyan Beis HaMikdash. You know who could build the Beis HaMikdash? Anybody could build the Beis HaMikdash. So it doesn't demand your time per se. In other words, okay, good. You'll volunteer some of your time. Volunteer be conscribed, however you want to say it. But in other words, but other people can take care of it. And as a result of that, you could spend more time at home. But when it comes to Talmud Torah, in other words, you're right now the only one who can learn Torah for yourself. In other words, nobody can learn Torah for you. And Rav Yochanan Maitam Alomar Me'ahi Shani Hasam De'Islei Harvacha. And the Gemara says, now why didn't Rav Yochanan learn by the pasuk regarding David HaMelech? So Rav Yochanan says, I'll tell you why. Because over there, so what happens over there is that they go and they serve David HaMelech and they get rewarded, meaning financially rewarded, serious financial rewards, says Rashi. And so as far as the wife is concerned, she's happy. Meaning not happy that her husband's away, but happy that he's actually going out and earning a really good living. So over there, so the idea that they're going to be away for, that their husband will be away for some time, that part's true. And yeah, he's only home every other month. That part's true. But at least he's got, right? At least he's coming home with money. And so she'll benefit from that. Okay. Amarav. Okay. Now we're going to go a little bit non sequitur right now. What we just finished up is discussing two basic points, so far in the Gemara today. First we had the Mishnah in terms of schedule of intimacy between husband and wife, depending on his occupation. And then number one, the Talmidim go away typically for a week, but if they have permission, they can go out longer. And what is typical? Okay, good. That's number one. And then, that's it. That's basically what we've covered so far. And now we're going to go a little bit non sequitur. And as Rashi points out over here, even though the next topic is going to have nothing to do with our discussion, but, Rav and Rav Yochanan, meaning we just saw a machlok between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Okay, so where the Gemara is going to quote another machlok between Rav and Rav Yochanan, right? I have a wonderful feeling that this is probably not the only two machloksim between Rav and Rav Yochanan. So I bet you that there's more connective tissue between the Gemara that we're about to do and the Gemara that we just did. And I'm sure if one was smart, like not me, so then you can find out, or you can figure out what exactly the connection is. So Amar Rav Anachash Averes Chatzi Gufa Shel Adam. So a person lets out a sigh, right? He kvetches. So the right kretzch. I didn't say it well. Okay, you understand. So Shaveres Chatzi Gufa Shel Adam. So what's going to do is it's going to break half your body. Okay. So in other words, right? Don't be despondent, but and certainly don't sigh. So Shenemar Vataban Adam Einach B'Shivron Masnayim. So, and Rav quotes the pasuk over here from Yecheskel, which is that Yecheskel let out a sigh, and it broke half his body. Okay, now Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rav Kol Gufo Shel Adam. Rabbi Yochanan says, "What do you mean breaks half your body? It breaks your entire body." Shenemar V'Haya Ki Yomru Eilecha Amata Nenech V'Amata Al Shmo Kiva V'Nameis Kol Lev V'Rafu Kol Yadaim V'Chasa Kol Ruach V'Chol Berkaim Telachna Mayim. So the pasuk over here, this is also in Yecheskel, and by the way, this is the very next pasuk in Yecheskel. Both these psukim that we recited are from the 21st parak of Sefer Yecheskel. Okay, and the psukim happen to be back to back. So the second pasuk over here describes the breaking of the entire body. Rav Yochanan mi'aksiv b'shiv aron mesnayim. Now, again, the classic back and forth. Rav Yochanan, what does he do with the first pasuk that describes breaking half the body? Rav Yochanan will tell you it's very simple. The first pasuk is just telling us where the breaking is going to start. It'll start by the loins, right? The midpoint of the body. But ultimately, what it's going to do is break the entire body. Mind you, by the way, I hope everyone knows this. I don't fully understand what I'm saying. Breaking half the body, breaking the whole body. Okay. In other words, okay, fine. Right. You're in bad shape, but, I understand. I'm just saying over the Gemara, but I'm just admitting over here, not fully understanding the difference. Now, what is Rav going to do with the second pasuk, which does in fact describe the breaking of the entire body? So, Shani Shmuel, the Beis Hamikdash, the Tkifa Tuva. So the Gemara says what he does with that is very simple, and that is that's a description of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Churban Beis Hamikdash, that's going to break your entire body. So a sigh in response to the Churban Beis Hamikdash will break your entire body. Okay. A short deviation from our topic. Anecdote following up the point that we just made, and that is that you had both a Jew and a non-Jew that were walking. Happens to be that the Jew right now had an excellent pace, like he had a really really fast pace in terms of his walk. And the non-Jew couldn't keep up with him. So, ad kare churban beis hamikdash nagivinach. Oh, so the non-Jew now takes out his bag of tricks, and so he mentions churban beis hamikdash, which forced the Jew now to let out a sigh. Yeah. So, ve'afilo hachi lo imse over kocham l'skoi ba'adei. And even though, yes, it slowed the Jew down because it did break him, but still, the Jew was outpacing the non-Jew, even after the sigh. So Amr Lay, Lav Amisu, Anacha Shavers Khatsi Gufushal Adam. And so the guy said, you know, I thought it was supposed to break you. Half of you. In other words, it should have slowed your pace down at least half. So Amr Lay Hani Mili Milse Khadati. Avahada Shani Bay lo. So the Jew said, look, it happens to be, you're right, it does break me. But unfortunately, we are used to Churban Beis Hamikdash, meaning this is something that's been around for some time. Now, just imagine, by the way, I'm going to make an obvious point. The Amoraim are saying this, and they lived only a couple hundred years after Churban Beis Hamikdash. So we are almost 2,000 years after Churban Beis Hamikdash. So for us, you imagine how old it is. But it's old news. Terrible news, right? The catastrophic news, but it's old news. So the Dishani Balo, Dishani Balo, the Army Inshi, and the Gemara says, and you know the old expression that people say, right? The old expression that people say throughout the Gemara is, you know, what was once upon a time popular in Bavel, not so popular now, but the messages obviously are still really clear. And that is the mafe techle, zolo basa. Terrible, terrible expression and really tragic. But in other words, there's truth to it. And that is if a woman constantly loses children, her children die. So, right? Tragedy. Inexplicable. But if it happens all the time, so then when it does happen, it doesn't shock her as much. Okay. In other words, we get desensitized to things which are horrible, horrific, but we do get desensitized to it. And so the Jews told the guy, you're right. Churban Beis Hamikdash, it's a tragedy. In other words, indescribable tragedy, but it just happens to be that we're used to it. And so therefore you're not going to see me react as strongly. Hatayalim b'chol yom. Okay. We are back. Okay, we are back now to the discussion of today's daf, which is the mitzvah of ona, the responsibility that a husband has towards his wife, to be with her intimately, and we're talking now about schedule. So how often? So atayalim b'chol yom. So my tayalim. So the obvious question, like what kind of profession is the Gemara describing over here, where he's available to his wife every day, and not just available, but responsible. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava b'nei pirkei. So Rava attempts to give a pshat. Rava's pshat is, we're talking about people who are boys, right? Young men who are in yeshiva, but in other words, local yeshiva. So they can go home to their wives daily. So So the Gemara says, we'll start off with a pasuk. So the pasuk goes on to describe. This is a pasuk in Tehillim, which parak Kuf Chav Zayin 127. So the pasuk in Tehillim describes basically people who are not sleeping. So what they're doing is that they're waiting for their husbands. In other words, the husbands are in yeshiva, they're learning, and they're waiting for their husbands. And now the atamarat b'nei pirka, and basically this is a contempt for the pshat that's offered by Rava. Rava says that these b'nei yeshiva, even though it's a local yeshiva, they're going to be home every night with their wives. No, they're not. In other words, the description in Tehillim is that they're not coming home that early. In other words, the wives are waiting up for them, for them to come home. But they're not just simply making themselves available to the wives. It's not a good pshat in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Elam Rabbi, so Rabbi says, okay, so allow me please to offer what he considers to be a better pshat in the Mishnah. And that is Kidderav, the Amarav Kagon, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, the Achumi Dide, Vishasimi Dide, Vigana Bitula Da Padne, Velo Chalef, Pierce Taka, the Malka Abave. I'll give you an example of somebody who can be with his wife every day. And again, not just can be, but responsible to be with his wife every day. Somebody who lives very comfortably. Now, a really interesting description over here the Gemara gives, in that not only is he financially comfortable, but also somehow he's off the grid. Now, I say that, by the way, because Rashi says it. Right? Rashi says that the tax collector doesn't come to him. He's like hit the sweet spot of wealth, in that he's got money, but not enough that engenders the attention of the government. Okay? So he really is. Our guy's living off the grid, so he is not desperate for money, and at the same time also, not for whatever reason, is able to avoid the government tax collection. Okay. Kiyasa Ravin. Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael. Ravin would also like to offer a pshat in the Mishnah. These tayalim, who are responsible to be with their wives every day. So kigo mefanki de marava. So I'll show you a group of people living in Eretz Yisrael, and they are mefanke. Now, literally, those are people that are delicate people, fastidious people, but basically, they are people living in Eretz Yisrael, living the high life, and they have enough money and enough health that they can be with their wives every day. Rabbi Abba Ava Kai Bebane. As long as we talked about people in Eretz Yisrael being strong, so the Gemara is going to tell us a couple stories about people in Eretz Yisrael being strong. We'll start with Rabbi Abau. So he was in the bathhouse, Vavusam Chalei Trei Avdein, and he was together with two of his attendants, and Ifches Bei Bani Mitusei, and the floor of the bathhouse fell out. In other words, in these bathhouses, they had water underneath, so there was a floor, and there was a floor above it. And so the floor that they were standing on fell out, and Yisram Alei Amuda. But basically, he held himself up with a pillar. So with one arm, he was holding himself up, and Salik Vaskinu. And now with his other hand, which was available, so he was able to get his attendants out as well. In other words, they didn't fall down because he held them up as well. Okay, good. So in other words, Rabbi Abba was strong. He was able to hold up his attendants. Another story, Rabbi Yochanan Havik HaSalik Badarga. Rav Yochanan was going up a ladder, and Havasam Chalei, Rav Ami and Rav Asi were supporting him as he was going up. Okay, going up a ladder, maybe it's a better description of here is going up steps. Either way, if Chasul Darga to say, what happened was is that the steps broke, and now, once again, he had to hold himself up. So Salik Vaskinu, so what does he do? So not only does he able to hold himself up, again, he's holding on to something, and not only that, he's also holding on to Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi as well. So, Amalei Rabbanim v'chim acher, da'achil amalei lemismechei. Rabbi Amin, Rav Asi, ask him an outstanding question. And that is, you really are one of the strongest people we've ever met. And meanwhile, you know, every time you walk around, we support you. We hold you up as you're walking around. Why are we doing that? You're unbelievably strong. So Amar Lahu, Rav Yochanan's response, imke mani achlei zikna. He says, look, I gotta save some strength for later. Meaning, later in life, I'm going to need my strength, so I'm saving some of my strength. Okay, it's fair to ask me, is that how strength works? You get to save strength for later in life? Apparently, yeah, I'm getting confirmation. Yes, that's how it works. You get to save strength for later in life. Ha po'alim shtayim b'shabbos. So if you're a po'al, So two times with your wife, two times a week with your wife. That is the schedule of intimacy between husband and wife. V'atanya Paul and Machas B'Shabbos, the Gemara quotes a Brisa, where it says once a week, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Lo Kasha, Kan B'Osem Malach B'Iran, Kan B'Osem Malach B'Aracheres. Gemara gives an obvious answer, and that is it depends on where you're working. If you're working locally, twice a week. If you're working if you're working out of town, once a week. And the Gemara quotes the Brisa, which solidifies this exact point. We move on. Okay, so the Gemara asks now the question, which I previewed all the way back in the Mishnah, but now we get to bring this question from the back burner and bring it right now and address it directly. Remember, how did the Mishnah open up? In other words, a husband wants a break from his wife, makes a neder, right? And what is considered acceptable versus unacceptable? 1 week, 2 weeks, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. Okay? And let's focus on Beis Hillel right now. One week, right? In the Mishnah, Hamadir Sisho Mitashma Shemesa Hamita. So Beis Hillel Omrim Shabbos Achas. So you make a neder, 1 week abstention from your wife, and at that point in time, it already becomes unacceptable. To the point in which, if he specifies anything longer than a week, going to force him to divorce his wife. Okay. In other words, that's unacceptable. And then you read on the Mishnah, and the rest of the Mishnah is almost incomprehensible. As the Mishnah goes on to describe, people who are going to be taking 2 week breaks from their wives, a month break from their wives, 6 months if you're a sailor, right? What's happening? So the Gemara asks that question. So Amrle, low. So the Mishnah, now in other words, right now the Gemara is thinking, who is the Mishnah addressing? The Tayo, Poel, right? The Tayo is with his wife every day, Poel once a week. But that's it. In other words, the Mishnah is not responding to any of the other people in the Mishnah who are taking longer breaks from the wives. By occupation, they're taking longer breaks from the wives. So the Gemara says, no, Akulu. V'hashisha chadash and kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, it's going on every case in the Mishnah. Unimaginable, right? The sailor is going to be away from his wife for 6 months, and now he makes a neder. I'm not going to be with you for a week, and she can't handle that? So the Gemara says, that's absolutely correct. Gemara said, there's an important lesson over here. Eino doma mishesh lo pas besalo, mishen lo pas besalo. So the Gemara over here, the Gemara a couple times throughout Shas gives us this basic rule, and that is basically what creates anxiety and what doesn't create anxiety. So what creates anxiety is, let's start the other way. What doesn't create anxiety is when you have bread in the basket. Bread in the basket means is that it could happen. So when something could happen, for example, so she wants to be with her husband, so her husband could come home within 6 months, meaning he's away for a good amount of time, but on any given night, her husband could come home. So that's what's called paspisalo. So under those circumstances, so it's true that she's going to be with her husband infrequently, very infrequently, but he could come back, right? Let's first go with the contrast, and the contrast to that would be where he makes a neder and he says through the neder, well, that's it, you and I are going to be separated for a week, and he says that through a neder. At that point in time, now she knows that for the next week she's not going to be with her husband. That's misha'in lo pas besalo. Gemara says the same idea when it comes to when it comes to fasting, meaning that, right, and we all know this psychologically. In other words, when we're fasting, so we go a day without food, okay? But in other words, sometimes we do. But in other words, sometimes you go a day without food. But if you could eat any given point in time, you're not as hungry. But once you're told you can't eat, oh my gosh, I'm starving. Okay. In other words, we know the psychological reality, and the Gemara is expressing it in terms of husband and wife as well. Same thing. So Amalei Rabba Barav Chanala Baye Chama Venasa Gama Mai. So let's say that right now the husband is a chamer, and now he wants to become a gamal. But of course, that means that he's going to be with his wife less frequently. Maybe the pay is better. Okay. So now what does she want? More time with her husband, or him coming home with a bigger paycheck? And I know the best answer, of course, is, well, why not ask her? The Gemara over here says, I'll give you a general rule, and that is Amalei wrote to Isha Bekav Vitiflos Me'asara Kabim Imprishus. So the Gemara says that typically speaking, woman want more time with her husband, than to him coming home with a larger paycheck. Hasafan machas the shisha chadashim divrei Rabbi Eliezer. I'm a Rav Barona. I'm a Rav Halacha ke Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, the halacha in fact follows like Rabbi Eliezer. I'm a Rav Adar Bav. I'm a Rav Zu divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Avachachamim omrim ataminim yotzim matam b'torah beiz vegemoshanim shalab rishos. Okay, from here until the end of today's daf, we're going to be talking about a schedule of a tamachachim. How long can he be going away? Again, what do we know in our Mishnah? What do we learn in our Mishnah? Right, once a week. The Gemara now quotes that the Chachamim are of the position, they can go away two to three years, and they don't need permission. So Am Rav Samchu Rabbanan Ad Rav Adar Bava VaAvde Uvde BeNafshaihu. So Rav says that it happened to have become popular that Tamid Chachamim avail themselves to this halacha, but BeNafshaihu. And as Rashi points out over here, but it cost him. And as we're going to see in just a moment, it cost him dearly. Meaning, again, let's set this up well. Meaning that as far as our Mishnah is concerned, a Talmid Chacham should be going away for a week. But no more than that. The Mishnah says, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Now, it sounds like from the Mishnah that the Chachamim argue. According to Rav Adar Bava, the Chachamim do in fact argue. According to Rav Adar Bava, a Talmid Chacham can go away from his wife without permission for 2 to 3 years. Okay, now, what Rava was describing now is that in his day, so people took advantage of that. In other words, young Talmid Chachamim just got married, so they went away from the wives for 2 to 3 years. And the only way they could do so is only on this position of Rav Adar Bava. And the Gemara says that they paid for it. And the Gemara tells a story. So he would go home
once a year. Now, it is interesting and difficult to understand that the day that he chose to go home was Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, I know. I'm aware. I know it's hard for me to explain. Yeah, more than hard for me to explain.
But also, they have this whole story about when Rav or Nachman would travel to a city, would actually advertise going to get married
for that. Correct. Okay, I'm with you. Okay. Let's just leave the story as it is. So yom echad meshachteish might have a mesachet devasayu. Hashta asai. So it happens to be that even though she was expecting him to come home annually once a year, so one time he delayed, and she was really hoping that, in other words, she was expecting him to come home, and he didn't. Lo asa, and he didn't. And at that point in time, she had chalishas das. She became dispirited. She let out a tear. And as a result of that, in other words, he hurt her emotionally. And as a result of that, so the floor that he was on collapsed, it caved in, and he died. All right? And The Sichas Musar is authored by Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz is a classic Baal Musar. He's one of the more contemporary, not our generation, a couple generations ago, but one of the most classic of the deliverers of Musar, of character development. And so in one of his Sichas Musar, he cites our Gemara over here, and he notes, in other words, if you think about the story over here that we just went over, it's a little bit strange. Meaning what happens is that He hurt her emotionally, unintentionally, and therefore he died, and that's a little bit strange. Meaning, I understood that he should be punished, but in him being punished, she got punished even more. Meaning, instead of now being a wife whose husband did visit her, albeit infrequently, now she has no longer a husband. So Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz says that when it comes to averus ben adam lechavero, so as far as the punishment that's met out, he describes it as basically it's an eish ocheles. It's a fire that consumes. Meaning that when you hurt somebody, a Kadosh Baruch Hu's onish, so to say, is not necessarily met out measure for measure. Meaning the onish is basically you hurt somebody. In other words, it's a fire that consumes you. When you really aggravated somebody, when you hurt somebody. And so even though the punishment not only is going to affect you, it may affect other people as well. But in other words, it's Akash Baruch Hu is basically Eisho Chelos when it comes to Averos that are Ben Adam L'Chavero. In other words, obviously the Mussar is that we have to be even more careful when considering other people's feelings. Okay. All right, let's do a little bit more for today. Okay, yeah. Onus shel Talmid Chacham Meimas. So when should the Talmid Chacham be with his wife? So I'm reviewing Amar Shmuel, Meir Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. So it should be Friday night. So Asher Periyo Yitain Beito. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, right? This one we're familiar with. This is in the very beginning of the Sefer, right? This is the first parak of Tehillim. So Amar Rav Yehuda Vitem Rav Huna Vitem Rav Nachman Zuh Mashamash Mitas Meir Shabbos Lerev Shabbos. So Asher Periyo Yitain Beito. So the pre, in other words, that's the fruit. In other words, the relations that the husband and wife have together should be ito in the proper time. Okay, Friday nights. Yehuda b'ri Rav Chia Chasid de Rav Yana have asal v'yasam bebe Rav v'chol beisham shehave asal lebeisay. So the every erev Shabbos he would go home to his wife. So v'chi have asal have a kachaze kame amuda denura. And so when he went home, he saw amuda denura. He saw a pillar of fire. So Yumachad Mashach Tishmaita Kevdalochaze Hahu Simana. So now one Friday night he delayed. In other words, he got too involved in his learning and he delayed coming home. And the father-in-law didn't see the simon. So Amalu Rabbianai Kafu Mitaso Shomala Yehuda Kaim Lobitol Naso. So Rabbianai, who had the simon every time his son-in-law would come home, so he didn't see the simon. He thought something terrible happened. Now, truth of the matter is, nothing terrible happened. It just happens to be that he came home late. In other words, he was involved in his learning. And meanwhile, have a kishkagash yotzim lefnei ashaliv v'nach nafshei. And but because he said it, so not the first time in this mesechta we've already went over this idea. And that is when you say something, even unintended, right? Every statement that you make, every word that you make. I know this sounds scary, but the Gemara says it, and we got to just try to digest it as much as we can. Every word that you say is going to have truth to it, and even if it's not currently true, truth will come out from it. So again, got to be careful about every word that we say. I'm speaking right now to me. So and over here, tragedy. In other words, because he said it, that his son-in-law must have died. So his son-in-law died. Okay, we are going to pause over here. Now I did promise that the end of today is going to be some of the most popular gemaras that we're familiar with, but I also said at the beginning of Shir today that we're not getting there today. Okay, we'll get there tomorrow. Okay, we leave ourselves off three wide lines in. Okay, put a bookmark over there. We'll obviously pick it up tomorrow. Okay, let's chazer. Okay, very beginning of today's Shir, we just finished up from yesterday in terms of when a woman comes into marriage with four maidservants. So she still needs to do some basic services so that she is not idle. That's the halacha. And the Gemara spent a lot of time making sure that we have proper attribution of who said it. Was it Rav Malkiyo? Then we started the Mishnah on Samech Alpha Midbeis. And the Mishnah talks about the mitzvah of Ona. A husband is responsible to be with his wife. That is a duty of the husband that he has towards his wife. And then just a question of frequency. The Mishnah opens up with, if he makes a neder, and that neder outlines an amount of time in which there will be abstention in the marriage, so that could be the cause for termination of the marriage because he's not fulfilling his duty. Okay, how to formulate the neder? So we discussed briefly in the Mishnah. Rashi says that the neder has to be formulated in a certain way so that it could take effect. But if he does formulate such a neder, so that will be grounds for divorce. And then the Mishnah goes on to describe what is the normal rate of frequency a husband has with his wife, depending on occupation. And then for a good part of today's daf, we went on to discuss more details regarding what if he has permission? What if he doesn't have permission? How long can a Talmid Chacham be away from his wife? And multiple stories that we saw in today's daf. And it leads us to tomorrow, where tomorrow we're going to be discussing Rabbi Akiva. Adkan. Okay. Right. So.